you have the best players in the world playing basketball, it's hard to play defense on them. So it may not seem like they're playing defense. And, like, as a real person, you go out there, not what you see on TV, or like when you're live and you're on that court to get screened by somebody. So you're guarding Curry, the big man comes and screens you. Now you have to fight over that screen.
You have like 1 second.
Yeah. In a millisecond, your brain has to flip. Your feet have to move. Everything has to connect in the same time. So it's not that they're not playing defense. It's just the offense is so good.
Yeah.
It makes the defense look like they're not there or they're not playing.
ברוכים הבאים לאי כושר הוט דוג, פודקאסט הבייסבול הראשון בעברית, עם יוני לברי ואנוכי ארז שעת. שלום יוני.
אהלן ארז.
יוני, משדר 183.
בשנת 183, אבל שים לב, כן. לפני הספירה, התאבד המצבי הגדול חניבל, לא חניבל סמית, אוקיי, בדקתי, זה לא הוא, בגיל 64 כשהוא שתה רעל. או, אומרים, או. דם של שור. לא סגורים על אחד משניהם. יש לי כוח.
הבנתי. אוקיי. אתה יודע שחניבל הגיע ממה שהיום טוניזיה, אלג'יר. יש עצים באלג'יר?
כן, אבל אין קשרים.
בעיה,
אנחנו עוד לא...
מה, אביב הערבי וכל
זה? סעודיה, תכף, אלג'יר שלישית, כאילו, בדרך.
הבנתי, כי כזכור, המשדר מגיע לכם בחסות טטרש, מסחר ויבוא עצים. כל סוגי העצים, מכל רחבי העולם, אם כי ממשדר למשדר רחבי העולם מתחילים להצטמצם, ובאיכות יוצאת דופן. בקרו אותנו בכתובת דרך בן צבי 20 ביפו, באינטרנט, טימה כפרדו ציודותייל, כי המחירים שלנו הם לא בדיחת קרש.
כל מצבי שבו אתם מאמינים.
בעולם העצים. כן. אתה יודע, יוני, נורא גבוה פה.
נכון.
אנחנו בקומה החמישית במגדלי, איזה?
יו.
יו.
כן.
אוקיי, ואתה יודע למה?
למה?
לא, אתה תגיד לי.
אנחנו עם משדר סופר מיוחד.
כן, and please say, and we're gonna do it in English, and please say hello to James Webb the third.
Hello, how are you doing?
Oh, good. I mean, you are a known baseball... No, you're not a baseball player. You are... Wait a minute, this is a kosher hot dog basketball version?
This is a one-time version.
Okay, first of all,
special.
You are a player for Maccabi Tel Aviv.
Indeed.
You know that
they're champion. Israel's champions.
I was going to raise it because did you know that Maccabi Tel Aviv was the de facto Israeli national team at a point?
I kind of get that walking around.
When you were my age, you were basically, you had a domestic team, whomever they were, and you had a European, a team for Europe, which was Maccabi Tel Aviv. All the kids love Maccabi.
Gotcha, yeah. His fan base is crazy.
Yeah, I know. So
I think we were a bit younger.
In a good way.
We were a bit younger.
What?
When it was like that.
No, 79.
How old are you today?
Oh, you mean 30. It was...
Yeah, you said you were his age.
No, I said when I was... Oh, sorry. When I was at my age, I was in the late 70s, early 80s.
Oh, okay. When you were a kid.
When I was a kid.
Okay.
Okay, sorry. Yeah, okay. My English no good. And okay, so we're gonna talk about you, and we're gonna talk a little bit about baseball. But first, we have a little riddle here, a quiz, a trivia.
Is it birthday today?
Frank Viola,
nah.
Joe Mauer. Yeah,
that's nice.
Okay.
Almost Hall of Famer.
Almost
Hall of Famer.
Well, he is, but he's all. Not nice. Okay. Which team holds the record for hitting a home run in the most consecutive games?
Yankees,
Cubs, Reds, and Reds, Ox.
Yeah. That thing. Okay.
Okay. So obviously you would say the Yankees. I think both of you would say the Yankees.
No, but okay. I'll give him the Yankees.
Okay, and you take.
We all have to choose a different one.
No, just to make it interesting.
So we have more chances of somebody getting it right.
You have the answer.
Mm-hmm.
We get it.
At the end of the broadcast, we tell them the answer. This is how we hook them in.
Ah, nice.
Now everybody will stay on the way up till the end.
Okay, I will take the Reds.
I'll be with the Cubs. Okay. I like the Cubbies.
Cubbies, yes, yeah. Let's talk a little about you, James. You were born, by the way, in... It doesn't even say. Okay, so you were born in Augusta, Georgia.
No.
See, that's what I'm talking about. You were born in Augusta.
I was born in a place called Killeen or Fort Hood, Texas. It's the military base.
Wow.
It's like nearby what? The Dallas?
Fort Worth?
The city is called Killeen. I don't know how far.
So you were an army baby, as they call it. You were traveling. Your parents were... So, did you move to Georgia, or is the Georgia thing complete?
I moved to Florida after Texas.
They flew above Georgia. That's the thing.
So, the reason why I say it's Georgia is because my dad...
Okay, it's retired. Near Austin. Sorry.
It's near Austin. Mm-hmm. My dad retired in Georgia, and that's where we ended up staying for his retirement and stuff like that. But
how old were you? More or less, no.
Georgia, it was 2004.
All right. So
yeah, I think I was a tough
year. You know, everything you know is a lie. So, okay, it says here you went to Curtis Baptist in Augusta, Georgia.
I went to four different high schools.
Right. Yeah. Curtis, the Oaks, I don't know.
Okay, so first went Academy of Richmond County, ARC, in Augusta, Georgia. Then it went Curtis Baptist. And then it went the Oaks Virtual School. And then I went to a school called I went to Adelphi. And then last year was the Oaks Virtual.
Yeah, we should afterwards I will update your history, because apparently you don't know what you're
It's a mystery.
Yeah, I mean, we had here a good friend of the show, Alon Leishman. He's an Israeli baseball player who's now coaching for the Cincinnati Reds.
Okay.
And he was basically, out of all the players, it says he's good friend with...
Something in Norvegia.
No.
Okay.
He was good friend with this pitcher. And he's like, I don't know why, out of all people in the league, this is my best friend. And so, they tend to...
It's just random people putting information about you that they find.
What is a virtual school, by the way?
Online. Basically, an online school. So, I did the class.
Like 15 years ago?
I don't know. I did the school on the computer, and I played basketball for the team.
Wow.
In that city. It was like a prep school kind of situation.
And obviously, you didn't just play, did you know you were going to play basketball all the time? Because as we spoke, you played tennis, soccer, baseball, track, cross country, and obviously basketball. That's about 6 or 7 different fields. Were you always going to play basketball, or was that?
No, I grew up a baseball player.
See,
okay, let's go there.
Go there. From the age of 3 to about my junior year of high school, I played baseball.
That's your old man? Like
my dad played. Yeah. He played baseball. I think he had a tryout for Pittsburgh. I can't remember.
Wow.
Pittsburgh.
A position player?
He was, if I remember correctly, it was pitcher. He ended up going to the Army instead. So,
you didn't?
I did not.
Mm-hmm. What did he do in the Army?
He was comms, like support and stuff like that.
All right. Because I was talking to somebody and I said, you did know the Army like have a baseball team.
West Point?
West Point. West Point has a baseball team.
New York, by the Hudson.
Yeah. They have the Army, the Navy, and the Air Force have a baseball. They have like a college team. So
they do. I played against the Air Force team in college for basketball.
See, and they're good teams. They're not amazing, but they're very good, very competitive. So
I started by playing baseball.
Yeah, I started playing baseball and baseball year round. Mm-hmm. Travel baseball, high school, or middle school baseball. And then it just kept going, and then I grew tired of it.
No.
Yeah. But people don't realize.
Yeah.
When you're playing, I played every position. I even called. And I was a great pitcher. Played infield, played outfield.
Well, you have the measurements for it.
I played every position. And I was...
You're right-handed?
I am.
Okay.
And then, went to the outfield and I just was out there looking around because not many people were hitting the ball at the outfield.
That's your problem.
So I kind of grew bored of it. Mm. And, you know, I kind of wore myself out. So, and I also was growing at the time as well.
Yeah. So. Because the thing is, there's one thing about American culture which doesn't really translate is the idea that kids play one thing today, soccer, maybe baseball, maybe something else. When they get to junior high and high school, they do a lot of different things. And then they sort of like focus on where the money is, basketball or football.
That, or you see where your passion is.
Right. And that's the other thing. But the thing is that they, for some reason, when they... Like the MLB, they try to expand to England, to the UK, and like, dude, there's no way a kid in the UK is gonna play baseball. They're gonna, but they think, okay, he's playing soccer when he's a kid, he's going to play baseball when he grows up, like in America. And it's, dude, it's like
it's
400 years of. but the thing is, you also we also spoke about it with baseball fans, and they say, listen, baseball is the greatest sport ever. And I keep coming back to, yeah, but only if you like baseball.
Yeah.
Because...
I feel like that's with a lot of sports as well. Like golf, if you play golf and you like, you know...
You play golf?
I actually do.
Wow.
I play...
But that's like more for old people, right?
Yeah, but it's also more of like a summertime thing. You get to, you know, enjoy, relax.
I think post Tiger Woods, it's not... It became like a hip thing for...
Yeah.
Teenagers.
And this place where you were born, Augusta, Georgia.
Augusta, Georgia. They have the Masters.
They have stuff. Golf is a big thing there, right? It's
pretty much the only thing that Augusta is really known for.
Mm-hmm. Tiger was playing there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
but sorry, yeah, I want to focus on this as a specific point about being bored in the outfield. Because my daughter is 13 years old. She's playing. She's playing now.
Yeah.
I'm missing her game now.
Wow. So, yeah. You see, so when she grew up, she would like, my dad missed my home run because he was...
Yeah, the first line drive is going to be today.
All because of me.
It's going to be today. The first line drive is going to be today. So she's playing in the outfield because they put the new ones there. Because she's new. She's just started now.
Yeah, it's and, like to do with the kids.
Nothing happens there.
Right.
And I went to her and said, cheer. You want me, you do it, or you want me to talk to your coach and to switch some positions, you know, sometimes be a third, sometimes be like, make it interesting. No, I don't want it, but I'm afraid that if she'll be too long there in the outfield, she'll miss the game.
Yeah.
Didn't you ever think about it, doing something about it?
Yeah, so I didn't start, I played outfield after I had done, you know, first base, third base, shortstop, second base, pitch. Then I, you know, went to left field, center field, right field. Like, so when I got to the back end later years of playing in the outfield, because I could cover so much ground, but it was, you know, you don't have that same entertainment as like the infield.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, I mean, I think for her, if she wants to, because, you know, when you start getting older, the balls in the infield start, you know, being hit to you a lot faster.
Yeah, exactly.
It's more, you know, pop from the bat. You've got quicker reaction times and stuff like that. It's on to how...
And also, when you start to become like 6 feet tall, they won't put you at third base.
Yeah.
I mean,
first. I can put you at first.
Yeah, first is...
Jeez.
That's okay. That's the ball. First base players.
Yeah, well, but I mean, you look, I mean.
Or you could be a 6'9 pitcher like Randy Johnson.
Or a 6'7 shortstop like O'Neill.
Yeah, only one. There's only one like that.
And he's not going to stay there for long.
Right.
But that's the thing.
How tall was Alex Rodriguez?
Yeah, he was.
Third base?
Was like in, but
Alex Rodriguez.
A-Rod
was.
Yeah, it was like.
I mean, they're all 6-something, you know, but 6'1 or 6'7, it's a bit. It's a different.
Yeah, for sure.
The thing is, for we was talking about one of the things that somebody said, a parent of one of the guys, was that baseball is the perfect meld between an individual game and a team game. Basketball is a team game. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Tennis is an individual game. Baseball is both very, very team-based and because you, I mean, maybe insanely so. I mean, you don't, like in basketball, you have the, it's not like, okay, we have the last out, let's bring in the ace. No, it's whomever on the lineup. And you can't, if you're on second base, you're basically reliant on the hitter.
Right.
And in basketball, you can take the ball all the way to the basket, and you don't have to rely on other people if you're like the go-to guy. And on the other hand, you have the individual thing, because if you're under the ball, nobody else can catch it for you. And if you're at bat and you're the pitcher, you're alone.
Yeah.
And he says this is, for him, the best of both worlds. And I'm thinking to myself as we talk about it, yes, but only if you like baseball.
Yeah.
If you don't like baseball, or if your heart is in somewhere else, that doesn't matter.
You know what I'll tell people? To go to a live game instead of watching it on TV.
Yeah, obviously.
The entertainment that you get at a live game, not just from the game, but also just from the fans around you as well.
Yeah, I mean,
drinking beers, everybody's getting into it.
I fell in love in a sports bar.
Yeah.
Mm. It's as close as it gets.
Yeah, true. Because it's difficult to.
No, I mean, that's the thing. The first of all, it's always everything looks realer. I mean, I'm sure that people always comes to you and think that they can, you know, throw a 3-pointer like nothing, you know, and then you come to the field and you see where the arc is, where the basket is, and like, man, that's hard.
That and then you have to account for the defense on top of that.
So,
you know, it's hard out there shooting it by yourself. Then you got people running at you trying to block your shot and stuff like that. It makes it 10 times difficult. Just like baseball, though. Mm-hmm. People think they can hit a 90 mile per hour.
I mean, I watch Israeli baseball and I realize how hard it is to catch a foul ball. Because you're like facing the infield, the pitcher, the batter. All of a sudden, you have to turn around, find the ball that's behind you.
You got the sun, you got the wind.
Yeah, and run in a direction you're not used to, and look up and make sure not to get into the fence.
You got the spin of the baseball and everything. It's so much that plays into it.
On TV, it's much easier.
Yeah,
for sure. You're like, all right, there's the ball, there's the glove.
How didn't you catch it?
Right. Yeah. I mean, I yesterday this guy. He stood and the ball went by in the third baseman, and I'm like, okay, if this was major league, that's an error. And this here, it's a hit, because it's not an ordinary effort. Were you scouted for college?
I was. I had a couple of offers. I actually played travel baseball with a kid that got drafted at 18. His name was Taylor Guerrero.
Oh. We have a lot of
from the family. I don't know. From the family.
I'm not sure. I cannot tell you. He's from South Carolina.
Who knows?
So, yeah, I don't. But I do remember when on his 18th birthday, he got drafted. And, you know, it was kind of like cool to see. But it was also like, man, if I would have stayed playing baseball, maybe that could have been me or something. You know, it's kind of like hindsight. Yeah. 50-50.
And also, I mean, in baseball, you have a good chance of getting drafted from high school, at least a fair chance. And in basketball, do you still have the one and done? No.
You have to go to college now.
Right, but one year...
Or overseas, you could do like LaMelo Ball and go play professionally overseas.
And to me, that's again another thing. We always said in baseball, you have to have minor league because they don't go to college. I mean, they do go to college, they come as the seniors, and then they go to the minor league.
That's 1A, a different AA, AAA.
Yeah, exactly. Because the levels are still, I mean, MLB, and that's the thing, MLB compared to college, and I watched a lot of colleges, and I can attest to that, and of course, AA and single A and even AAA, it's a completely different planet.
Yeah.
Is moving from college to MLB, and you have a bit of a MLB career, is that... How big of a jump it is?
I believe, you know, nowadays kids are super athletes. You know, the jump, I would say, is maybe not as significant as people think. It's kind of like basketball as well. You face a lot of players that are good, but the ones that stand out, you could tell the difference between like that star player in college and that star player in the MLB. I think the star player from MLB to star player in college is, it's a big gap just because, yeah, you know, you don't know as much or you don't understand as much. And
yeah, I mean, even the
little things, it's like little things that right. can make that big of a difference right. that I you mean, find out when you get to the major leagues.
Yeah, and they use aluminum bats, which is...
That is true as well,
it's
yeah.
like using a smaller ball.
Yeah, wood bats and aluminum bats are... They hurt more when you hit it on the wrong spot than bat.
When did you... You say you're a Yankee fan, right?
Yeah, I grew up with... Around the Derek Jeter era, like I was a Yankee fan, but I still liked other players as well.
But these years, you were already in Georgia?
No, I think I was in Florida.
Because
in between, like,
because Florida. The Braves were also a huge yeah. team.
I grew up, like I said, like I grew up watching players. Like I know about Chipper Jones and Andrew Jones mm-hmm. From the Braves and stuff like that. I like the power hitters. I was always like a power hitter fan.
It was a big era.
Yeah, we talked about it. The power hitters in the. I mean, there's like baseball fan are like real baseball fan. They like the pitcher. They like the defense. Yeah. They don't like the long ball. And everybody else basically likes the long ball, likes mm-hmm. the power hitter.
I like the entertainment.
I mean, I know a guy from Long Island. He was like, the greatest era in the history of baseball was the steroid era, where balls just cleared the deck.
Mark McGwire.
And he's not joking. Sosa and Sheffield and Bonds. Yeah. And he's not joking. And he's really serious. He's like, you went to a field.
You know, you go to the game to see the entertainment. You want to see home runs. You want to, you know, get excited when somebody hits the ball over the whole stadium.
Yeah. Like, this is again, I know this is like a dichotomy that is in every field because I like a no-hitter. I like when the game is 0-0 in the eighth with traffic and defense. And I know that people will pay money to come and see like a 10-6 blowout with two grand slams on each side. And is it the same like in you know, people, you say, oh no, we like defense. We like, I'm a kid of the 80s. When I grew up, playoff defense basically meant people got hospitalized.
Yeah, I've been like the bad boy there.
Yeah, exactly. My favorite team, I mean, I'm not a fan, but my favorite team is the Pistons of the end of the 80s.
That's also the Knicks with the
Oakley.
It was a very...
I mean, I like the...
No, very physical team. That era is great. But it also, for longevity of your career, is not.
Yeah, exactly. And, I mean, so I'm talking about, like, the old baseball when you can spike your opponent and break a double play by rolling into the second. But we all agree that...
Tackle the catcher trying to slide
out. Yeah, exactly. Like those insane injuries.
Yeah.
We all agree that today's baseball is better because it doesn't... People don't get stupid injuries.
Yeah.
And for what? A double play that nobody would remember in like 50 games in the season.
You know what it is too? Like, a lot of people come to see star players. And mm-hmm. if your star player is out there getting hurt, and that you know, you lose the money of that.
Right.
You lose people coming to see their favorite player because he's injured off of something and that could avoided.
Exactly. I was saying always that I saw the Tigers, Detroit versus the Angels, and the Angels had Trout and Otani, which you probably heard about. And they walked one of them, you know, intentionally. And I'm like, if I'm a Tiger fan in the stands, I'm booing my team because I didn't pay money to come and see Mike Trout walks to first base. I can't see him either home run.
But when you're the other team, you're thinking, obviously, we want to win the game, so we don't want to pitch to Mike Trout. We let him get on. And they will pitch to whoever is behind him.
Right, but on the other hand, and back to your field, we have the last All Star was like what 200 points.
The NBA All Star.
And people were like, "This is atrocious."
But that's
And we know they're not
only the All Star. The problem is not
the All Star is the
regular season.
Because the All Star never had good defense.
Yeah.
But when you don't play any defense during in regular season, then the All Star become like over 200 points.
Okay, so this is what I'll say.
Yeah, just do.
you have the best players in the world playing basketball. It's hard to play defense on them. So it may not seem like they're playing defense, but if you go out there and try to guard somebody like a James Harden, like a Kyrie Irving, and like as a real person, you go out there, not what you see on TV, or but in, when you're live and you're on that court to get screened by somebody. So you're guarding Kyrie, the big man comes and screens you. Now you have to fight over that screen.
Yeah, while, like 1 second.
Yeah, in a millisecond, your brain has to flip, your feet have to move, everything has to connect in the same time. So somebody's running downhill and they have a head start, of course it's going to be difficult to try to stop them, or to try to play defense, or try to contest the shot. It's not that they're not playing defense. It's just the offense is so good.
Yeah.
It makes the defense look like they're not there or they're not playing.
It's true, yeah. Though, the league does its own thing also.
And if you let's say, kick them, mm-hmm. it's a flagrant foul.
Yeah, you can't. So you can't.
What you did was you basically
you could try and touch.
Yeah.
You can't do it to them.
I mean, what they did in the '80s in a situation like that, they just sucker punch them.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, so it's a free throw.
Yeah, you get a regular foul, but now, like I said too, they're protecting the players because you're paying these players hundreds of millions of dollars. That's where your money's going to come in at, on ticket sales and stuff like that. And if they're not seeing their favorite player play, you're losing money. Now they're trying to figure out what can they do to prevent that.
Yeah. Is the season too long, basketball? Because we know...
Are you saying NBA or are you NBA? Saying...
it's almost the same now.
Oh, it is?
No,
it's not. No, but... When we grew up... You play in Europe like 10 games, that's it. And now it's much more longer, the European teams' seasons.
But it's longer with less games.
Mm-hmm.
So the EuroLeague European season is longer with less games.
You know, the Maccabi used to play in another league. Yeah, they're playing in Israel, the domestic one. They played the EuroLeague, and they played also the, how did you call it, the Adriatic one?
Yeah.
Remember? That's three leagues.
That's like the Serbian league now,
right? Yeah. They played in three leagues the same year.
That's insane.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. But if you notice too, like, that's why a lot of guys from their area, their careers weren't as long as people.
That's true.
They got injured.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And like, that's why they that's the thing. People say, I buy a ticket to watch on the Lakers or the Warriors, and I'm not guaranteed to see the star player because he may be rested.
To go back to your question, the NBA season, you start preseason around October. Regular season is like the end of October, something like that. Maybe in the beginning of September is when they start preseason. Regular season starts in November.
Mm-hmm.
They're done now. The people that don't make the playoffs are done now.
Right.
We come in August. We don't leave till almost July.
Right.
Like our last game, we make it all the way, is, I believe, June 20th.
So the off-season is shorter.
Off-season is very short. You get a month and a half between 6 to 8 weeks.
And that's it.
And you have to be right back.
But you don't play every day. You don't play every day,
but you do practice every day.
Yeah, I'm not saying.
And you're flying the hell out of here.
Yeah.
Specifically this year.
Yeah, and flying is you don't rest really.
Yeah. That's what I'm. Yeah. How, and playing without fans. How is it to play without fans? It's crazy. It's like, they play like their home game.
Yeah, I completely forgot. We should have started with how is it in Israel? I'm sorry. We should have asked you. This is how great reporters we are. and that's probably the third question everybody asks you. How is it in Israel? I mean, were you afraid? Is your parents like...
It's crazy because, you know, what you see on the news and like what you see now...
Yeah, you don't have to tell me.
You understand. It's completely different. But at the same time, it is... You know, a scary situation because you don't know what could happen. Or you don't, like, as an American, you're coming into a country that you have a little bit of knowledge about, but you don't have too much knowledge about. Like me, I'm coming from a family. My dad did 2 wars.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of understand the situation and the scenario, but it's still, like, not a comfortable situation to be in because of the unknown.
Right.
Where were you October 7th?
I believe here.
Yeah, well, I was all alone.
Yeah. My girlfriend she was still in the States at the time. She was about to come over. We had her flight for like October 15th or something like that.
Which never happened.
And yeah. So now that happened. Now delayed the flight. And she eventually came over to Belgrade. November, like first week like of November, okay. Something like that. So, she's been there since.
On October, sorry, going back to that, October 7th, like 6:30 a.m., there are sirens outside.
Did actually, you even understand here. What was, is it? I was sleeping, to tell you the truth. I was sleeping.
He didn't wake you up.
They woke me up, but I rolled over.
Like, okay.
I mean, for
because that's okay. At the same time, like I told you, you can hear the ambulances outside mm-hmm. the door and okay. stuff like that. So I had never heard the alarm before.
Right.
So I was just thinking it was a regular
drill, alarm. Something, yeah, fire drill,
or somebody
something.
Like the ambulance.
It's not like a war.
Or something like
it's
that. Like a yeah, war, I'm no. not because at the same time too, I'm asleep. So maybe I'm thinking it's my dream. Around like that. 8 or 9 o'clock, I realized I checked my phone and I realized
something
know,
big
the
is happening.
Yeah, the severity of it. You know, everybody was checking in, team wise and managers and players and stuff like that.
That's where you were? Where did the team sat you down? All the players, the foreign players, and explained basically what's going on? Because let's say Israeli people were here all their life needed an explanation what is going on. It was
It was like at the time it was just text, like everybody, you know, when the launch were happening, they would just say from Israel's under attack and stuff like that, because nobody actually knew the severity or like what was really going on.
Exactly.
So we didn't find out until, you know, after everything had like happened, and that's when we kind of had like a meeting of what was going on. This is like what could potentially be. This is what could happen. This is where we could be. Like, you know, now we got to start looking at flights. We got to start looking at getting out of Tel Aviv.
Yeah, exactly.
So it was just like a very confusing and hard, difficult time.
Before coming here, did you talk to former players or
Dennis Smith?
Devin Smith was my assistant. He was like the assistant coach with the Minnesota G League team. And I knew Maccabi. You know, Maccabi is such a well-respected and powerful, organization and team and club that you hear about.
Because you were in Europe.
Yeah,
so
you hear about it. Okay. Mm-hmm. And last year, you know, I played for Valencia Basket, so I kind of understood what Maccabi was and what it meant and stuff like that. But going back to your question, yeah, I talked to Devin Smith. I actually called or messaged him right after I got the call saying that I could potentially be on the team. So I, you know, kind of called or reached out to him, trying to see, like, you know, how he liked the things that, you know, I should look forward to or like look.
And
you know,
I'm trying to get sure he told you to make sure your girlfriend know, because the women in Tel Aviv, they love the players.
Yes and no. I mean, like,
I don't know. That's the story. It's like, yeah, players love to come here because of the clubs and the scene.
So, like, you know, people like to come. You get this type of weather year round.
Yeah.
You got the beach. You got restaurants. You know, this is kind of like a designated place that players want to come because of the weather, because of the atmosphere, the fans, the whole situation of it.
Yeah, you get pretty adored there.
Yeah.
It's like royalty and all that.
Yeah.
So let's pause it here because we don't want to take too much of your time.
No worries.
And let's do a quick sidetrack into our how do you say P9?
Corner.
How do you like when somebody has like a regular spot? Is that how is that called? A spot
in a
show?
Like,
in a show, like you have
like the segment.
Segment. Okay, so we have a segment now.
We'll have a corner.
Yeah.
So the thing is, it's it has a cute name in Hebrew, and I thought about it, and I decided that we will call it for this occasion, Battle's Delight.
Battle's Delight?
Battle's Delight, like Rapper's Delight.
Yeah.
Okay, so Balad al Chovet, it's Battle's Delight. Never
all right,
mind.
All right.
Okay, so the character I think you both should know, Yoni, it's a guy called Jay-Z. Jay-Z, I think he has claimed that he made the Yankee symbol, the Yankee hat, more famous than the Yankees did.
Oh, well.
Because he's been going everywhere with
every picture, he would have a Yankees hat on. And he's from, Brooklyn.
So, again, I don't get a chance to speak to people from the country. How is Jay-Z considered as a fan? I'm not saying you're like an expert.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I consider him like, I don't know, best rapper alive.
Yeah, he's one of the GOATs for sure.
Right. And the living one at that.
Yeah, the living one at that, right. You know, he's kind of like a LeBron of basketball.
Right. See, okay, so it's not like you have the old greats yeah. and you have the current, like,
mainstay. Because, I mean, you know, back before his time, you would say, oh, Biggie or Tupac or something like that when you come to hip-hop and stuff like that. But him being around like the Biggie era as well, because you know, they're both from Brooklyn,
right? And he started at the 90s, and he's now like an elder statesman.
And like, what's not only what he's done with rap, like I said, like LeBron, he was on and off the court. He's done like
a lot of people,
clothing brand,
and a lot of people criticize him for being like the GM of the Lakers.
Yeah,
and a lot of people criticize Jay-Z for being, you know, too much of a businessman these days.
Wasn't he like owner of the Nets owner of the Nets or something?
So
you know, he has champagne, liquor, like he is his hand in everything, just like LeBron. I mean, he's opened up schools. And
so who is the Kendrick Lamar of basketball?
That's tough.
Okay, yeah. Let's say Steph.
Okay,
change the game.
I can. You know.
Okay. All right, so this is from a track called Grammy Family from 2006. This is funny. He's already talking about the old Hov in 2006, like 14 years, 20 years ago. And obviously, I mean, this is like the most... I'm the illest, I call it. Like, this is like the main genre of hip-hop is I'm the illest, I'm the best, I'm the greatest. And because of that, you always have to try to be very creative because everybody else is saying they're the best.
Right.
So he's saying everybody's screaming they want the old Hov. But the new improved Hov hit like Albert Pujols. Mm-hmm. Everybody want to hear me talk about money like Phil Rizzuto, but my mind is on Pluto. So let's dissect that.
All right.
Everybody wants the old him. He says, but the new him, he's like the Albert Pujols. Now, Albert Pujols, 2006, he was God walking on water.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But we all spoke about the stereo area, and everybody says, no, baseball once was better, but everybody comes to see their home runs.
Yep.
So he says, like, the new one sells billions. The old one was selling crack, man. Yeah. That's basically... And now Phil Rizzuto, he did a commercial for the Money Store, I think they were called. Oh. I don't know if you know what Phil Rizzuto.
Yeah, of course, but I don't know.
Okay, he was a longtime spokesman for the Money Store. So kids of the 50s, 60s, they know the Money Store. But he says, everybody want to hear me talk that money like Phil Rizzuto, but my mind is on Pluto. So he takes the Albert Pujols, he moves to Phil Rizzuto, and then he goes to the money. And then he runs Pluto with Rizzuto, which basically breaks the... Never mind, I'm going into the... Because you notice it's everybody... but my mind is on Pluto, so he breaks the flow into the new flow. Mm-hmm. That's why he's the greatest. He can do that like this.
Everybody screaming they want the old ho, but the new improved ho hit like Albert Pujols. Everybody want to hear me talk that money like Phil Rizzuto, but my mind is on Pluto.
They said he could... have up to like 14 or something like songs in his head.
He doesn't write anything. Yeah. Everything is, I mean, he's freestyling. Mm-hmm. And that's something, by the way, speaking of baseball and basketball, I always think about this idea of sports. You don't think a lot. And you said you have to think. I mean...
What do you mean you don't think a lot?
Because if you stop and think, the play is over. Yeah. You basically, your mind, it's like...
You have to think.
That's the thing.
Oh, really quick.
I mean, that's the thing.
Quiz every play.
But I mean, you don't. That's the thing. I'm asking. Mm-hmm. Is how much of it is muscle memory, and you just focus on, you know, like big things. Like I see this guy, I see that guy, and let your body do the rest of the work, which you done like a million times.
Everything is muscle memory, like from shooting to dribbling and stuff like that. That's the muscle memory part.
Mm-hmm.
But also, too, is what comes down to it is like, as a team, you go over the plays, like our plays. For instance, you cut on this time when this person gets the ball, or, you know, you come for a handoff, pick and roll, re-screen, something like that. That's muscle memory part, but that's also a read as well on how the defender is playing. So when teams, you go into a situation like, for instance, our Baskonia game, we went into...
Oh, that's one of the best wins Maccabi had like in the last 30 years.
Oh, right.
That happened last Tuesday.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, we have the top scorer in EuroLeague, Marcus Howard. Shoots the ball crazy. Like, Sal makes unbelievable shots. Our game plan, you know, is to take him out of his comfort zone and making him shoot those, you know, the shots like that. So you have to think the game as far as, all right, he likes to do this, we want to make him do, you know, the opposite side or something like that. So the thinking part is that, but also too, the game happens so fast, it's hard to do what you think, you know what I mean? So it makes it that much more difficult. It's just all about reactions. And that's where the thinking part just turns into muscle memory. Yeah. Like, you've gone over it for the past three, 4 days. So you know what you need to do, or you know the position that you're trying to get this player to go to. So it just becomes more of like a quick reaction or quick thought process. Okay, I see him coming down the court. I know he wants to shoot a three. Force him left to the paint or something like that.
Sportsman, the athlete thinks in a weird level, which is halfway between conscience and muscle memory, because they are so connected. Because otherwise, how can you watch like videos of a guy, which let's say works on one part of your brain and then executed in a physical way, which is like a completely different. Well, if you played long enough, to my understanding, it kind of have a synthesis of the knowledge you have and the actions on the field. I mean, in your somehow a subconscious, you know he will try to cut you this way, and he would know he would go this way, and your body just moves along to those positions.
It's like a tech guy going into work and turning off his computer.
Right.
That's how your body works. You're like, okay, I go into the gym, I catch the ball, I get to my form, I shoot the ball, or I run, my right leg, left leg, you know, it's like that. But just that thinking part is more of like a game plan situation.
And then it's very fast, and you have to be in tough shape to do it.
It's super fast. And like, also too, you got to think about just driving to the basket. You see a defender coming out of nowhere, you have to adjust or change your shot.
Right.
Like, stuff like that just happens off of instincts or like muscle memory, like you said.
Which is also why we so love it, because it's like the ultimate physical thing, you know, seeing somebody. I mean, I remember seeing Jordan, and to me it looks like he walked on air. And then you watch it like 20 years later, well, it was a jump. In life, it looked like he was walking.
But it's simple and effective, but it's also very difficult at the same time. Because you have, like you said, you have 7 feet guys running at you trying to block your shot, or quick guys running to try to catch you. It's crazy when you actually think about it.
I think in basketball it's even tougher, because in basketball everybody moves everywhere.
Right.
In baseball,
you have to be aware
when you're a second baseman. You're a second baseman. That's your position.
This is your area.
You're not going to see the outfielder comes to you.
Yeah. Or from the second base to 3/4 of the way to the first base. That is your area.
And basketball,
from the edge of the grass to the other
exactly.
area.
Basketball, everybody goes everywhere.
And sometimes, you know, you don't always run plays. You're just freelance, basically.
Right.
So you have to just be aware. And
I even,
so you're aware of that, but you're also aware of guarding your player, too, that's in front of you.
And I even think that today's basketball is even tougher, because,
because
20 years ago, the center, like the five spot, they didn't shoot threes.
They were under
the basket waiting for the ball. Nowadays, they shoot threes from anywhere.
And you have 7 foot guys that move like guards. Like quick
guys.
That's the big issue. They always have the thing that today's players are much more athletics. They get what was used to be like the highlight reel of 20, 30 years ago. Today, the kid comes from high school and he can perform like Dr. J did at the lowest level. And it's the same in everywhere. I mean, you look everywhere. That's why always you think, if those, we had a project about 50 greatest baseball players, and you always ask yourself whether those people, I mean, I know that if they were living today, they would be playing in today's rules. But could that guy be this good today?
I always say that when you try to, even with basketball, when you try to compare your top 50 or your top so-and-so or whatever. You got to go by, I think you have to go by errors because what Charles Oakley
and what this era does now,
like who you compare Charles Oakley to in this era? Nobody. You don't compare him to Jokic. You don't compare him to...
I mean, I don't see Isaiah Thomas... playing in because he didn't have, let's say, the physical umbrella he had in the Pistons, because they would all be thrown out of the game,
right?
And he couldn't play because everyone would be like, everyone including the other guys, point guard, were like taller, so he would be at a huge disadvantage on top of the disadvantage he had there.
That's like when Shaq era, the two guys, like the Lakers era, then you come into a more physically inclined Dwight Howard with the Orlando Magic that could run faster, that could jump higher, that, you know, is more cut up and stuff like that. It's just that the eras, you can't compare this era to that era.
No, exactly.
That's not fun.
Yeah, well, obviously.
Doing it. Yeah, and it's easy to say, oh, well, this person could adapt to this and that.
Yeah, how did Babe Ruth could play today?
Well, but that's the thing. Babe Ruth would not be eating hot dogs between innings.
Nah, Babe Ruth is Babe Ruth.
Yeah, okay. David Wells. Now, I read something the other day that really caught my eye, and I said I would have to ask you guys. Excuse me for whatever I'm going to say. Maybe I'm going to sound like an idiot. There's a guy called Jalen Brunson.
Woo-hoo!
He's from the Knicks.
Yeah.
He beat Boston like a few days ago.
A week ago, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the Bostonian crowd at home started shouting MVP, MVP.
I don't think that's true. I think that's Knicks fans in Boston. That's what
I think. Could be.
Okay, first of all, my idea is that when your team sucks so bad, you start cheering the other guy.
But the Celtics aren't bad, though.
No, that's a specific game. They're like 20 games above.
Yeah.
They don't have nothing to play for. The season is over for them. They're first place, whatever. So this game for them was just waiting for the playoffs to start.
All right. But still, you don't want... I don't know.
So like I played in the Garden, TD Garden. Mm-hmm. I played there. They don't... When you're a Celtics fan, you're a diehard Celtics fan.
Yeah, exactly. That's what the thing is.
So that's the thing. Like, I don't think that they would... Or maybe they were trolling. Because at the same time, like last night, night before, I think Philly played the Heat.
Mm-hmm.
Philly fans. I played in Philly as well.
Yeah.
Philly fans will boo you.
Yeah.
You're their own team. They will boo them. They will also congratulate them the same game.
That's fans.
That's the thing.
And that's just like fans here or fans in any other place.
That's the thing. I mean, we love New York teams. And New York teams are famous for booing their own players, their franchise, their star players. This year, the owner of the Mets asked because Francisco Lindor, the star player of the Mets, has a bad start. Last time he had a bad start, he was booed out of the building. He asked them to cheer him despite no matter what, and the fans agreed. The fans bought into that.
It's like what happened with Trey Turner.
Yeah, he told him exactly. Let's make him... Trey Turner is a Phillies fan.
Okay.
And the fans decided they had a campaign, and they say, we're going to cheer for him.
They played a lot of money for him, and he didn't perform.
On his debut year for the team.
I think, too, like what fans have to understand.
Mm-hmm.
You're not perfect.
Yeah, obviously.
And also, too, what fans have to understand, too, is you're not going to win every game.
Well.
It's impossible.
Yeah.
Impossible.
Especially in baseball.
Impossible.
You're
going to have some slumps. You're going to, you know, some nights you just don't work the same way that they should.
I think what fans are having tough time to realize is that it's human beings there. Well, they have their own lives. They're coming with their own...
You know what would put that in perspective? If fans, say athletes in general, came to regular fans' jobs and started going down
or cursing them.
If somebody comes to your job, you're at the computer and somebody's just yelling at you, boo, and cussing you out and all of this stuff.
We should do that.
I don't think I would. I think I would probably be in jail. I don't think that's like legal. I don't think that's legal.
If every mistake I make, it's like at the end of the day, it's Eris.
You misspelled a word.
Eris had like four good things, two excellent things, and five errors. And I'm like, five.
Right. So it's, you know, when you put it in perspective like that and you understand, it's like maybe they'll have a little.
Let's just say, I mean, the other point I was making is, a lot of people want to play for the Celtics, and a lot of people want to play for a New York team because they would boo you if you're bad, but if you're good, then you're God. And some people would say, no, I would like to go to the Milwaukee's. I would like to go to, I don't want to say because we have friends who would jump on me, but I don't know, Kansas City or something, you know, not the Chiefs, but the Royals. You know, a small team where if you're good, it's good. Small market. If you're good, it's good, but everybody knows you won't. We won't win the pennant or the series or the championship or whatever. So, and if you're bad, then nobody
cares, really.
Yeah, exactly. Where do you sit on that? Would you, because you're playing
for Maccabi?
Yeah, exactly. Because you're playing for the Yankees of Israel.
I've also had, you know, lower level teams as well. I played for UCAM Mercia.
Mm-hmm.
They hadn't been to Copa in, I think, 25 years or something.
Given a choice, you now have the choice of going to, I don't know, what's Galilee Lyon?
Ah, in Israel?
Yeah.
Yeah, well.
Well, you have the choice, you say, listen, same everything, but one team is, you can either play same money, same everything, same level, same load, either go to, the Maccabi Tel Aviv or to a low team.
But then you cannot win the pennant.
Obviously. You can't win the pennant, but the pressure comes with it.
I think as an athlete, you want to be competitive. So you want that challenge, or you want that, I guess you say, that little extra motivation. I think the clubs, you know, the higher-up clubs, they need pressure as well, because at the same time, you got to be dedicated. You got to be motivated to win something. I think that the higher clubs, you know, You have people coming in and telling you, like, you know, this is a big game for us no matter what. Like,
right,
you know, you're a top team, but you still have to go out there and compete, because it's more than just one game.
Yeah.
It's like a rhythm sport. So if you're in good moments, you know, those good moments keep adding up.
Yeah, but again,
so I for sure would take
on the other hand, if you have a slump on the small team, they would say, okay, work out of it. On the big team, they would say, work out of it somewhere else.
Yeah. No, I mean, the big team, you still, because at the same time, you know the skill level that you provide. So it's also...
Right. So the imposter syndrome, you know, like, what you're worth.
That's like running away from your challenges. Like, you got to face your challenges head on. So the big clubs, you know, you're going to have those.
Do you know who Shimon Mizrahi is?
I think everybody knows.
Oh, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm out of touch.
There used to be a
joke. There used to be a joke that when the team...
Be careful.
No, it's a good joke.
Okay.
When the team...
Because I don't want to get in trouble.
No, when the team didn't get the ball fast enough to the other side of the court... On any offense, he would run down to the coach and that's the level of pressure we're talking about with the guy. He used to be, I mean, that was like...
You know that coming into it. That's like the pressure, you know, everybody's Final Four.
But that's the thing. You're talking about league game, second half.
Shimon lives Maccabi.
Second half, Maccabi. Anything, it's like that the score is like 45-37, and the other team just scored, and they dribbled the ball too slow. It's like, come on, guys, we're losing this. I mean, that's the level of pressure we're talking about.
Even now, Shimon comes in at halftime to tell us, you know, the game's not over, like, to pick it up, or if we're not doing as well as we should.
Yeah, I mean, some people would say over, some people would say drives to excellence. I mean, you know, you're playing for the Yankees, you know, you're playing for the...
Shimon is a kind of a Steinbrenner.
Exactly.
That's what makes players and teams and organizations, that's how Maccabi got to...
That's
only because of him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He had this Elon Musk CEO mentality of like, best or nothing, and he did, and he pushed the team.
All the big companies that have success, they have somebody in there that is
you
know, pushing.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That is driving those all the pieces to come together to get the job. And
if you think Mark Zuckerberg doesn't put scores for his employees at the end of the day,
it's like any company that you work for. Yeah. That boss is either, it may not be coming directly from the boss. He's going to have somebody who's under him come down and, you know, give you a little motivation.
Okay.
You want to move to another corner?
Yeah, another corner. Your turn, I think. You want
my turn? All right. Okay.
What do you want to do? The player?
Okay, the mystery player.
Hmm? The mystery player. Okay. Yeah. So he's going to ask, he has a player in his mind and he's going to ask us about it.
Okay. He started his career in 1995 in Oakland and he finished it to 2014 in Cleveland. Okay, that's one. He dingered 440 home runs. Okay. He has one MVP. And he was playing pretty much first base and DH. Who's the guy?
Was this your era? No, eh?
Oakland A's.
Start of the 2000s, late 90s, start of the first 2000s.
Base. I would definitely say Jason Giambi. Okay,
oh,
sorry.
Nice.
Yeah, thank you. There's a thing. He, Yoni, said that the player that we should choose must be a famous one. And he kept saying it has to be Giambi and above. So the moment he says Oakland and first baseman.
So he gave you hints leading up.
Yeah, exactly.
If you were listening to our pods, you would know.
Okay, so that's a good transition. Do you listen to do you even think about basketball outside this or is it for you like a day job?
No, it's a every minute job.
Like, so you listen to a podcast or watch?
I'll do a little bit of, like you see, like right now it's not basketball on, but if I was to hit back, it would just be all basketball stuff from EuroLeague to Spanish league to
NBA. You follow Valencia because you played there last
not
time.
Not even Valencia, but like I played for Murcia as well, like I said in Spain. So like just the league because
is Valencia good? I only know Barcelona and Real. So
no, they're like second tier, right? Right.
Yeah,
much.
How is it in Spain? Still insane?
Yeah, Barcelona and Real. Top.
Barcelona.
So you follow your college?
Yeah.
Actually, I haven't.
No, that's okay.
Not anymore.
I mean, it's Boise, Idaho. Come on.
But I've also been away from Boise for, 8 years now.
Mm-hmm. How is it, by the way? Is it? I mean, all I know about Idaho is for me like the. It's like.
Potato.
Yeah, I mean, it's the thing. It's like.
Boise's better than people expect it to be. Like,
yeah.
The city, so it's like in between. But they have, you know, they have the mountains. Beautiful snow.
Yeah,
and stuff like that. And they also have like the downtown city area. So like you get a little bit of both.
I have to
soccer and basketball.
Okay, I just clicked something. What happened to the dreadlocks? I just clicked and it's like poof.
Yeah, I cut them off last year. Well, this summer.
Oh.
This past summer.
Why?
For Shimon?
Nah, for me. I was growing up for, I think it was 4 years.
Dude, with my haircut, I say if you can grow them as long as you can.
I mean, that's like my third or fourth
run.
Cutting them. Sorry, like, I used to have to hair down to my back. And
the girlfriend didn't want it?
No, it was more of a personal thing. Nobody really asked me to do it. It was just more for me. Mm-hmm. Easier to take care of. I don't have to get them done or find somebody out here that can do them.
So we started thinking, talking about it, but we didn't really get into it about playing without fans. Playing in Europe and not in Israel.
Can you explain? Because I'm guessing other people have no idea what you're talking about.
Because of the war, Maccabi can't play in Israel. So all the EuroLeague games are hosted in Belgrade. And they're playing like nobody's there. So, and Maccabi fans are so much big.
Maccabi fans are so big that one of the reasons Maccabi is getting this favorite nation added from the EuroLeague is because they know if Maccabi is in the Final Four, there's going to be a full house in the Final Four.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The dream is like a Final Four with
Maccabi, Panathinaikos.
Exactly, Maccabi and the Greek.
Happen.
Yeah,
but there's like I don't know, Fenerbahce, Real,
even Baskonia.
Yeah, this is a nightmare for them. They're looking at. They basically are going to have to pick up people in the streets.
Yeah,
and so this is the Maccabi fans. And
so how is it to play without the fans?
Oh my god!
So imagine COVID year. Everybody experienced it.
Yeah. Right.
Year.
Yeah.
Fans. It's like COVID here, but for one team.
Yeah.
Us.
Only you.
You know, we have our significant others and people, like a few people that come to the game. But it's not fun at all. For one, it's silent. You just hear the shoes squeaking. Yeah.
It's like a practice.
It's like an open practice that nobody can come to.
When you whispered and when you got somebody and you whispered to him, did you know you and me and your mother and everyone can hear you, and it's like oops.
And you could experience it against the Hapoel in Israel. Could see what the fans mean here.
So we played our first game against Partizan here at Menorah.
Before
that was our only game. Amazing atmosphere.
Yeah.
We've lost a couple of games by 1, 2, 3 points, something like that. If we would have had the fan support that we had, it would have been a different. It would have been a different story.
People come to Maccabi games; they don't follow basketball or Maccabi.
Right. So for us to win 20 games in a regular season without fans, the whole year,
it's amazing. Without a home,
the mental fortitude that we had to have, to just keep on trucking, catching flights. Coming back, playing Israeli games, go back to Serbia. Like, it was,
living in Ben-Gurion.
It was insane. I flew out of the airport. I know everything about that airport. so much. But it was just, the stress alone, not being, like I said, my girlfriend's been in Belgrade since November.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, she's there.
She's there, yeah. In an apartment there. So, people don't get to see their families.
Mm-hmm.
Other people have children, their families, and kids, and stuff like that are going through like the war situation without a idea of what's going on and things like that. It's just been a stressful year, but at the same time, what makes it good is the team bond that we have and like the chemistry and the family. It
looks like that,
or that we have between each other, and Oded having the everybody had their own stuff going on top of the war situation and things like that, but we all came together and still locked in and got the job done.
It's amazing. Your coach is a player I know people who idolized when he was I don't look about you. I'm talking again. He was national. He played for Hapoel Galil Elyon, and he played for Panathinaikos and Maccabi and the team and the Israeli team. And friends, I have friends who have posters of him. So it's kind of funny that now he's your coach.
Yeah, I grew up on him.
And going from a player to having a career cut short due to injury and stuff like
very
that.
Very early.
It's tough, and that can take a toll on somebody.
Mm-hmm.
But for him to flip that and turn into, one of the greatest coaches in EuroLeague and stuff like that, it shows mental toughness as well. And I think that his mental toughness kind of trickled down into the players this year without
That's amazing.
How to handle everything. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's
cool. You remember your first game you've been to?
I've only been to a couple. I believe it was actually the Braves at Turner Field.
Mm-hmm. Wow, Turner Field.
Yeah.
All right.
I think it was a Braves game at Turner Field.
So I haven't been to Dragon Stadium yet.
The new stadium.
Yeah.
In Miami, I feel like that's...
No, the Yankee Stadium.
Oh, the Yankee Stadium. No, I never...
Not yet.
I drove past the Mets Stadium when I was playing. But I've never been inside.
Okay, so something to look for.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, well,
listen, James, this is great. As you can see, we can speak for another couple of hours, but it's Friday and you probably have other things to do.
And she's playing.
Places to be, kids to watch, mothers to visit, and everything else. So we'll finish here. Unlike baseball, we do have a clock and we do know when the game is over. It won't be before I tell you which team holds the record for hitting a home run in the most consecutive games.
Mm-hmm.
You said James Yang. Yankees, I said the Reds, you said the Cubs, C is the Red Sox, and the answer is, the guest has it, the Yankees homered in 31 consecutive games, and it actually happened 2019.
Yeah, I remember something happened then, and we were playing in England, in London, through this thing.
Right. Snapping the record of 27 strikes held by the 2002 Rangers, the streak ended on July 2nd when failed to homer against the Mets at City Field.
Thank you very much.
You're my, my pleasure. We're always happy to serve you in this. אוקיי, נסיים בזאת. ניתן למצוא אותנו באתר בייסבול פודקאסט COIL. אני מדבר בעברית, אני די בטוח שהמאזינים שלנו עכשיו כזה, what is he saying? What is he saying? או ביוטיוב, youtube.com/strudel-a-kosher-hot-dog. תוכלו למצוא את הפודקאסט באפל פודקאסט, ספוטיפיי, גוגל, כמובן בכל האפליקציות. דרגו אותנו, תנו לנו משוב, סמנו לייק ופרגנו בחמישה כוכבים, כך הפודקאסט יקבל יותר חשיפה אצל חובבי הבייסבול שעדיין ישנם שם. ג'יימס, I can't tell you how much, I mean, you've entertained us in your own home for this. This is like a huge thank you. And we also have a great thanks for our executive producer, Chaim Katz. You know, I gave him some baseball cards, but he told me, hey man, I lost my glasses and now I can't read. I said, that's okay, you can still look at the pictures. pictures? ניתן להמשיך את הדיון בפייסבוק או באתר המאדרשיפ שלנו, הופסי או אייל, בייסבול ישראלי, כל יום שלישי וחמישי משעה 8 בערב בערוץ היוטיוב של איגוד הבייסבול, youtube.com/strudel-israel-baseball/live. יוני, משהו לא, מה לפני שסוגרים?
תודה לניצן על העזרה בשידוך ובאירוע הזה.
תודה רבה, thank you James, thank you ניצן, and thank you to you for listening to A Kosher Hot Dog with יוני לברי and ארז שץ, ובייסבול טוב ישראל.
יאללה ביי.
Swung on a drill to right field. Dewey back Sanders on the track at the wall. See ya! See ya! See ya! A home run!
Yeah, because I'm bad with dates. So the thing is, I was like, it says, you know how to remember that? I said, okay, how? Well, the bomb on Hiroshima.
Oh my god.
On August 6th.
And Nagasaki.
The bomb on Nagasaki on August 9th. So it's Hiroshima times 3 or Nagasaki times 2.
Of course. Everybody would do that.
See, this is the kind of people I grew up with. Probably the two questions everybody asks you is how tall are you? And whether or not your son would be also called James Webb.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I don't know.
No, I mean, are those the two questions everybody asks you? Or, I mean, the first probably.
Most of the time, like, if you know me, people ask, like, all the time, because I'm getting to that age to where, like, kids are in the future and stuff like that. So they always ask me, like, if I have a son, am I going to name him the fourth?
Right, see?
The answer is still, I don't know.
No. Yeah, obviously you don't. Yeah, but first of all, let's get there.
Yeah, and once we get there, we'll figure it out.
And the high thing, everybody knows because they have the data, so they don't ask you anymore.
Yeah, or like, you know, just random people in the elevator or
how tall
stores
you?
Or restaurants and stuff. Shortstop infield.
Okay. If you can, by the way, if you can turn up a bit the air conditioner.
Yeah, no problem.
This is frying my brain.
No problem.
Sorry.
It's cold. Just
okay. No, it's okay.
He likes cold.
Yeah, I like cold.
I do too, but no. People, wait, I like cold people. No, like
cold. Yeah, it's okay. I'm a hot person as well.
Me too.
Yeah, I always say. I mean, the sound of the ball on a wooden bat is one of the most beautiful sounds.
Great.
Aluminum bat is one of the most uglier sounds. I know.
Sounds crazy.
Yeah. You have any questions?
His Hollats just coming in as well, missing. Oturu fails on the follow, and Tamir Blatt forces the issue. And in transition, James Webb the third, his three-point shooting problems behind him. James Webb the third